And will parents be notified if?
Absolutely, parents will be notified that RTI processes are hoping to have this all done so that we can possibly come to the curriculum committee meeting for next school year.
It's going to be a busy meeting.
They always are.
Thank you. So with that being said, I'd like to move action item 16, PC09 through 10.
So moved. Second, you're moving.
Second for Kevin, Ms. McLaughlin. Any questions for Ms. McLaughlin this evening? No, seeing none, may we have a roll call, please?
Mrs. McLaughlin?
Yes.
Mr. Sturgis?
Yes.
Mrs. Hand?
Yes.
Mr. Malloy? Mr. McTiernan?
Yes.
Mr. Petuto?
Yes.
Mrs. Vanderhoff?
Yes.
Mrs. Grant?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Great. Thank you. We now move on to the reports of our ad hoc committee. Mr. Petuto has already given his report of his committee. I have a report from our ad hoc committee that's looking at the feasibility of closing a school. The ad hoc committee met last week. On that evening, we did capacity analysis for each school by total number of homerooms and remaining full-size rooms. Full-size rooms include rooms utilized for art, music, enrichment, resource rooms, literacy support, math support, technology, sensory room, speech, OT, PT, faculty room, gym, lunchroom, and conference rooms. We did this by each individual school. We reviewed how many of these full-size rooms and their associated academic affiliations. We had a robust conversation on what subjects we would recommend to the board to put on carts that could travel to individual homerooms. We discussed the impacts of bigger class sizes and leaving class sizes as they currently are today. And the impact we specifically talked about was from an academic perspective. We also discussed the flexibility that each individual school would provide for students and staff and the best options for each school so that we could accommodate expansion if that need be. We reviewed the classroom's flexibility that each school provides in case, I just said that, sorry. We're also working to finalize some aspects of our analysis over the next 30 days. We'll have a meeting at the end of October, and the goal is to have a final recommendation to the board on the feasibility of closing the school in December. So that is our report for this evening. I'd like to move on to old business. This report of our meeting is for board members to ask questions about old business of the school, of the board on the school related matters only. It's not a time to make personal statements, rather it's a time to review topics that have been previously discussed and bring up old topics relative to the business of the board. We always start with Mr. McTiernan, who is our liaison to the town council. Mr. McTiernan, do you have anything to report from the town council?
Yes, I do.
Thank you.
A gentleman from our local power company came to the council and wanted to let people know, and maybe you could make this public, is that on November 17th at Round Valley Community College, there's going to be an information session from 6 to 8 p.m., which includes signups for people that want to be pole climbers for the electric company. Very tough and difficult job. But if you know people who are looking for a job, it is a good job. I've had relatives that have done that in California, but they're going to be hiring, bringing people in. A lot of people do climb up 60 feet, get up the top, and say, I think I'm done. But many other people enjoy the work, and they are going to be hiring, and it's some good opportunities that are coming up.
Does it pay well?
Sorry?
Does it pay well?
I can't hear.
Does it pay well?
The job pays well. I'm not sure about the training and how that works out, but that's something you'll find out at the information session. I'm going.
Pay's going up.
Also up was a new presentation in regards to affordable housing coming to the township. Underway right now is a development at what's known as the Beaver Brook Homestead, which is just off of Beaver Avenue in the village. It would be around the range of 66 apartments in six buildings, 13 one-bedroom, three or 36 two-bedroom and 17 three-bedroom units. So that's up now, looking for state and federal funding. Should be seeing that coming up in the near future. What's important about that is that once that is completed, that meets the township's phase one and phase two requirements under COA. And then there would be an outstanding balance of somewhere around 120 units. Again, this is something that we're not going to see in the next year or two. It's going to take a little bit of time before the spade hits the ground and a building gets up and a key is there that somebody can have and walk into a home. But that's coming up and they're working on that.
Did you say there were, how many two and three bedroom units were there?
There are going to be 13 one-bedroom units, 36 two-bedroom, and 17 three-bedroom, as the design exists right now. But do keep in mind that that's a very rough schematic that has not yet been to the architect, so they're going to be taking a lot of community input as far as the design and structure of the buildings, the layout. There'll be a park in the center, and that. So those numbers might change. I doubt it, but they might change as they get additional input from the community. And I think that's all of the... one thing that coming out of that we'll be happy to hear about is that the public has requested that from that site in the village that there be sidewalks all the way to the middle school, unquote. Hmm. So it'd be a nice walking path there, which especially in that particular street, Beaver, would be very, very welcome.
Yeah, what's that? Coffee place, nail salon.
Yeah. It's a coffee place down through the road. Yeah.
Mrs. McLaughlin is the liaison for the board to the Hunterdon County Board of Education. Mrs. McLaughlin, do you have anything to report?
We have a meeting later this month.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Sturgis is our liaison to ESC. Mrs. Sturgis, do you have anything to report this evening?
The delegate assembly hasn't met since the last meeting, so no report at this time.
Okay, thank you. I would like to ask in the section here of old business that Dr. Clark review school choice in our program, and she has a recommendation for the board this evening. Dr. Clark?
Yes. I apologize that this is kind of last minute. We got a notice about a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, that the school choice requirement date changed. It was normally November, December, where you put in your numbers for school choice for the following year. They changed it to October 1st. And so we have to put together our school choice decision pretty quickly. And so I apologize for the late notice. However, I do believe we discussed it some in finance, but I think it needs an open discussion tonight. You know, choice was really considered a positive for this district. There were many reasons for that, and I believe that the revenue exceeded the cost of the program. And we took a large number of choice students in those beginning years. It enabled the district to really, during very difficult budgetary times, meet the financial needs of the district and provide a number of support and special education programming needs for the district during that time. But I do also believe that the times are changing in terms of the state funding and the monies available, and that what I'm beginning to see is that, and have concerns about, is that I'm concerned now that costs will begin to exceed the revenue we receive. So if you look at the revenue we receive, we've clearly been able to make a profit and utilize that in a productive way for the school district. However, as the times change And the state coffers seem to be diminishing and having some challenges. I think they are looking at school choice in a different way than they started to look at it in the beginning. I think it was made to accomplish certain things. It didn't really get the state where they wanted to go. And what I see are they're starting to change the way they handle it. And only one indication of that is the quick last minute notice of what they want us to provide them. So when I look at this, I look at the fact that last year we allotted 76 seats to school choice for this coming year. We did not get 76 seats for school choice. We only got 60, I believe it was 66 number. So we lost 10 students, not of our own making, not of anything we did, just people moved, changed direction, whatever, and so we're down to 66. Well, what the state now does with that is they tell us that means you no longer have 76 as your ceiling, you have 66 as your ceiling. Now, you will notice that every district in Hunterdon County opened up to school choice over the last couple of years. They have very limited numbers that they're receiving, right? So they don't have 66 students like we do. They have maybe 3 or 5. And I thought when the state started taking away numbers from us, they were giving them to the other districts in Hunterdon County. That is not the case. They are not giving them away. Those seats are gone, which means that the state is paying less out in choice money each year, which I believe sends a clear message about what their plans are for the future. Remember, we get our money a year behind the actual year we're working in. So we're working in 15-16, but they tell us that we'll get the money in next year's budget, all right? So you're always a year kind of behind with their payment, all right? So they pay around $13,000 and change for each student, all right? But that's not what Clinton Township's costs are always, all right? They could be around 13, they could be 14, they could be considerably more, depending on what that student needs over the course of time. We can take a kindergarten student who, you know, as all our children, their needs change over the course of years. So all of those costs change and morph into different numbers over time. I am beginning to have more concerns about choice and the way they're setting it up, the way they're paying the money, and the diminishing return on it, because our costs, just our normal day-to-day cost per pupil, is going up. They're not changing what they give you per pupil. So our cost goes to $14,000, you're immediately $1,000 behind, give or take, all right? I think that what I really want to talk to the board about is that I'm not comfortable this year, in good conscience, recommending that we add additional students to the choice program at this time. I do not believe that the revenue we're receiving is going to exceed the cost we're paying. And I thought it was important to have a discussion about that. I'm not sure, but I think we have to have a motion for direction. I would certainly like direction from the board about what you would like to do with this. So I leave it to your discussion.
So I have a resolution here to read to you. and then we'll make a motion for it a second, and then open it up to discussion. And once the discussion is concluded, I'll ask for a roll call vote. So this is the resolution. Be it resolved, based upon the recommendation of the superintendent, that the board will accept no additional students in the 2016-17 school year under the inter-district school choice program. So I'm looking for a motion, please.
I'm sorry. I just need to say one thing that I left out of this, all right? I want you to be clear. When we choose not to take additional students, all right, you must keep the students you already have. So you cannot change the students you already have. So if we have 66 students, that's the number, give or take, because people could change their mind next year or move. You have 66 students next year. What happens is then students graduate and you lose another group of students, all right? What you need to understand is when you don't take additional students, you lose that money, all right? So you will lose the 10 students we lost this year. In next year's budget, that's about, I'm rounding the numbers, so it's not exact. Please say 130,000, all right? You have 17 students the year after that who are graduating. You may choose to take students then or not, all right? But if, you know, you have 17 students graduating, you could lose another 250,000. So when you make this decision, there is a financial impact to the decision.
So I have questions. Can I ask questions before you read the resolution, or are you trying to prevent that?
I'm not trying to prevent anything. I think normally what we do is we read the resolution, we ask for a motion, a second, and then we open the floor to questions. Upon completion of questions, we'll then go to a roll call vote.
Okay, so I can't ask a clarifying question to Dr. Clark's enrollment figure until after you read the resolution.
Right. That's the normal way we do business. Okay?
Even in old business?
I'm sorry?
Even in old business?
In old business, this is a resolution. Okay. So that's how we handle resolutions. So I'm looking for a motion, please, on this resolution.
Motion.
For Dan. Second, please.
Second.
Rachel. Questions?
I have a lot of questions and concerns about the recommendation and about the way it came down this evening. To start with, on just the numerical, I want to quantify the recommendation. You said add no new students. So this year we have 66 currently enrolled, is that correct?
Yes.
So are we able to apply for more than 66?
No.
We're not able to.
Once your number goes down, what's happening now, you used to be able to have any number, right? They don't approve that anymore. So when you lose students, that number goes down, that's your new ceiling.
Okay, so the recommendation, as I heard it, is to add no new students. So does that mean that the application would read 66 students for the next school year?
You have to keep the students that you currently have enrolled, right? So the way I understand it is you have to fill out a form that says what openings you have. Basically, you're saying if you're not accepting more students, you're saying you're full at 66. All right? You're not opening any more spots.
So we're applying for 66 slots in the 16-17 school year.
That's our ceiling.
Yes, that's your ceiling. Yes.
So that's the max that's currently allowed?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
By the state.
So I don't understand the point of the resolution. If we can't apply for more, unless you're recommending that we reduce the number, aren't we already at the max allowed by the state?
Well, but it's for the following year.
Right.
So if we lose 10,
it's for the following year.
Right.
Right.
All right.
I get that.
You're doing it for 16-17. All right? So you'll have students graduating that year. All right? In 16-17, I think it's 17 students graduating. So you might be able to fill those in, all right? but right now you're saying you have zero openings in any of your grade levels. So, you're basically not going to fill those. It's for the following year, not this year.
Reducing the enrollment by the number that are going to age out.
Correct.
Or leave for other reasons.
Correct. Mm-hmm.
And the money we get.
Kevin. If 10 graduate in 16, then we're saying to the state, we won't accept any more than 56.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right?
Okay. Yeah. I just want to make sure I'm saying the right thing because it's always a year ahead, right? So for 16-17, it's going to be whatever number happens by October 15th. So I have 66, all right? Okay, but three students moved out and I didn't replace them. I couldn't replace them for one reason or another, all right? Then they'll reduce my number by those three students and that'll be my ceiling.
And whomever graduates, which is projected to be 10, so it would be 13. We're projected to lose 10 next year.
Yeah, we lost 10 this year. So in our next budget, we'll lose the 130 we expected to get for those 10 students. They used to pay us for whatever we projected. Right. So if we projected 76, then they would pay us for those 76 spots. No, but they don't do that anymore. They only pay you for the October 15th count.
Okay. All right, so this discussion, we've had it in many public board meetings here over the past 6 years, always been published in advance. Some years we've had multiple board meetings about school choice and discussing the finances of it, the program implications. We've discussed what we do with the revenue from school choice. We've discussed how we treat school choice families in the district. We've talked about our philosophy. I just don't like the way this is being brought up at 9:45 at night in old business. It should have been on the agenda. It should have been discussed with the full board present if possible. It shouldn't be brought up at 9:45 at night in old business. It's not the way we've addressed this topic in the past. And the topic, we put items on the agenda for full board discussion that are substantive in nature. Like tonight we talked about, for a long time, $5,000 to $7,000 on the website software. We had a robust discussion about it, a lot of questions asked about the finances surrounding it, and we voted on it, or we voted to give you direction on which way to pursue the topic. This is much larger than that. It has much greater financial implications, much greater programmatic implications. It's a change in our philosophy as a district. In years past, we had to lose programs and staff, curricular materials, because we didn't have the budget. When this revenue started to come in, that's what allowed us 5 to 6 years ago to add programs that we couldn't fund. Reading recovery programs, math support programs, curriculum purchases, American Reading Framework, GoMath. I know all the money goes into one bucket, but we sat here as a board and discussed how these dollars helped us fund those programs and staff. There was a period in time when we were very low on staff because we lost the referendum. That turned around the first year we applied for school choice. We applied for, my recollection was 115. I think we got 105. But we've received at times, my recollection was $1.4 million in 1 year from school choice funds. And we spent the money well and it helped enrich the kids' experience here. So I do want to talk more in detail about the finances of the recommendation, but the format for how the discussion is being held, I object to. This should have been published. We should have let the community know we were going to discuss it, and we should have made sure board members knew we were going to discuss it before we brought it up at 9:45 at night. So I object to that process. On the money, I believe we received more than $6 million in school choice funds over the past 5 years, and many of you are familiar with how we've spent that money. Right now, if we're receiving $13,300 a year from the state, it's $878,000 in our current budget is school choice funds. So you are all very familiar with how we allocate our budget. Imagine if we did not have this $878,000 this year, what it would do to our staff, our purchases, our school projects, our technology.
It's an enormous amount of money, and it's one of the only ways a district like ours can get additional aid from the state. We get very little from the state, and this program is one way the state moves money to districts like ours. So my general philosophy on it, when it first started, I was suspect about the program, but then I have been able to see over time the benefit to Clinton Township from the state in enrolling and participating in this program. So the recommendation, as it stands, I think in 18 months, if you took the 10 kids graduating this year and 17 in the year following, not counting any other kids who might drop out, our revenue from the state would drop from $877,000. It would drop $359,000, or 41% in 18 months. $133,000 next year, and then if we lost 17 graduating the following year, another $226,000. We have no other way to get money like that from the state that I'm aware of. So I think it's premature to walk away from money the state is offering us when we don't have to. The program is in place. It does sound like they're trying to shrink it, because when your enrollment declines, they're not allowing you to up it. But right now, it's still there. And if we are able to enroll for 66 additional kids, I would opt to go for the $878,000 and use it to pay for staff and programs. The math of the state pays us, say, 13, and our published cost per pupil is 14. I don't agree with that math. We're not spending $14,000 on every child who comes to us via school choice. We intentionally place those kids in programs where we have room. We've spoken about this to the public no less than 10 times in the past 6 years about how we choose where they go. We only put them in programs that have room. So for example, if you have a class of 15 in the fourth grade, you have some room there. You might put two kids there, but you wouldn't add kids to a section that has 22, because you have to add a section. So we're strategic about where we add these kids. So that's the reason I reject that math of how we lose money on each kid, because we only get $13,300 from the state. We've always been very strategic about how we spend the money so that it doesn't add to our payroll. And I would assume we would continue to do that. The only way we would lose money is if we had to hire staff to maintain that level of enrollment at 66. So it's 66 kids is 4.7% of our enrollment. That 4.7% brings almost $900,000 in revenue to the district. It does not cost us $900,000 to educate those 66 kids.
I have to say, all right, I did not make this recommendation lightly, because all of the things you're saying, all right, are important things to consider. And I thought a lot about them and talked at the Finance Committee meeting about my concerns about taking that money out of our budget and what that would mean for the future, all right, how we would make it up. And I don't have an answer for that, all right? I wish I could say to you, oh, I have this other source of revenue. I don't have an answer for that, Mr. Sturgis. But what I will say to you is that I do believe that the costs are going to outweigh what revenue you're getting, because there are certain things you can't predict, all right, in schools. You never could, but it's getting more volatile, all right? So I'm going to give you an example. We thought last year that we would lose at least 20 eighth grade students, a class, basically, of students. All of a sudden, all right, and I didn't open up a lot of eighth grade spots. I think I opened up a couple. I'm actually sorry I opened up those spots, all right, having nothing to do with the students, but the fact that I had transfers in where I had 21 students. We actually wound up with I have very high classes in eighth grade, all right, because of that. And when I project out over the next few years, all right, those numbers, it's hard to get those numbers down once you're going up to those high levels in eighth grade. So you have to really think through what grades you would take And I'm not sure you want to take kindergartners in anymore, right? Because we have a full-day kindergarten program, and the numbers are higher. I'm going to ask Mrs. Goad, is it 113 now for kindergarten? I think, and we were projecting around 102, all right? The numbers are kind of changing. You don't want to start adding more to kindergarten, all right? Our numbers in first and second grade are strong. I'm not sure where I add them to, what grade level I could add them to. That makes sense for the future. And we're also losing students, I think, all right, for the future, the way I look at Dr. Gripp's demographic report.
Right, we're losing students. We reported tonight that our enrollment report is 1412 with the 66 school choice children. So it's right around 5% of our enrollment is school choice. So we have an ad hoc committee talking about closing a school because of dropping enrollment. So right now, these schools are open. There's staff, there's leadership in the schools, there's insurances, there's maintenance, there's heat, there's custodial staff. Unless the school's closing, we should be trying to fill the school and bring in revenue.
I think I'd have to disagree with you.
Why is that?
When I first came on the board, the statements that you made, I agree with 100%. When I look at the environment today and do an environmental scan, I don't agree with those anymore. I think the game has changed and the field has changed significantly. Looking at the revenue source, using round numbers, 10 times 13 equals a number. That's revenue, that's solid, we can use it, we can spend it. What it fails to do is look at the risk to the Clinton Township taxpayers and the Clinton Township school administration. That risk includes, one, I'm one of the people that no longer perceives that the state of New Jersey will continue with this program. I believe within a year or two, we have a significant risk of the program going away and are not receiving those funds. And I've heard that from politicians. So when Governor Christie is out of office, which will happen shortly, what will the legislature do? So that's a huge risk. Will those funds keep on coming? The other side of that coin that I looked at too, which was the rosy side of the coin, was that each student is a revenue source. Each student is a positive on there, that we are going to get that $13,000 or whatever number the state comes up with. What that ignores is now what the responsibility, I believe, changed, because I'm not aware of it. When I was first here and I voted to support school choice, as you did, is that as these children come in to kindergarten, first grade, second grade, and their needs become apparent, that's an expense stream that needs to be absorbed by the Clinton Township taxpayers.
What do you mean their needs become apparent?
If students need any type of special education over and above the norm of the general education population, Clinton Township is responsible for picking up that tab.
Right.
So in that regard, I don't know what the numbers are, and I don't think we could discuss them if anyone was aware of those numbers. But there is a risk associated with these young people that are coming in to Spruce Run. As we look across the country, we see more and more people that have special needs. Some of those special needs need to be picked up by the school district. Is that fair to put that burden onto the Clinton Township taxpayer? I don't know what that risk is, and I don't know what that number is, but I could ascribe a percentage based on literature as to what percentage of that population we may or may not be equal to as you look across the populations in the United States. But each of those children is not going to bring in 100% of that revenue as an addition to the district. Many of them are going to bring in an additional cost structure in there. So the numbers that you're saying I agree with on the revenue side, I don't think that we have them accurately on the expense stream. And I don't know that I'm supportive, actually I know I'm not supportive of putting that burden or that risk onto the Clinton Township taxpayer.
We've discussed that.
If those students want to come here, in my view, and I heard this from many individuals in the community that came and spoke at those meetings, they should come then and move to Clinton Township, and then that would be part of the agreement we have to support them.
You're concerned about classification risk. We've discussed here, and we've reported at this meeting that we had an underclassification of students in this school choice population, lower than what we've experienced in the general population.
So it's greater than zero?
Yes, greater than zero, but lower than the organic rate. The data, I imagine we have the data on this population, so if there's more information that needs to be provided or discussed, it should be. But we've previously looked at these questions.
But there's two factors that come into, from my perspective, the decision that I'll look at there. One is the numbers that we can project on the revenue side are not equal, and that it is not going to be 13,000 per student, because some number greater than zero are going to require additional interventions at Clinton Township School District expense. So that brings that revenue number down. That to me is a risk factor to look at. The biggest risk factor though is to look at whether or not school choice from a state support position will continue.
And why is that a risk factor? If they eliminate funding of the program, we're not obligated to keep those kids, are we, Drew?
Yes. You are required to keep, those are your children. So those 66 children belong to Clinton Township, other than transportation. They belong to Clinton Township. You can't, that's the agreement you make with school choice.
And the state is
so
not.
So if the money goes, they're unfunded, they're ours.
So then you're saying that no tuition will be paid toward. So we're, for every student on cost per pupil is 14,000, you said? Or 13,000?
13,000 and change.
So it will be 13,000 per student that we're, if it goes away, we will be expected to come up
if
with.
If it goes away, if the funding goes away, and I mean, it's one of my concerns right now that's being talked about a lot among districts in Hunterdon County, because we were one of the first. And clearly, it was profitable for us to do that, all right? And we got some great kids, too, to boot. But that seems to be changing some. The climate around school choice seems to be changing.
So why would any school ever enroll if the risk the following year, due to a legislative change, would be that you got stuck with 115 kids unfunded for 9 years? Why would all the school districts?
Why is it like that?
It wasn't like
well,
that.
Well, 25.
It wasn't like that then.
It wasn't like that then.
Did the law change that it's now will be you'll?
The politics in the state have changed.
But what is it has to have legislation tied to it? Has the legislation changed?
They did not change the legislation. Not unlike the school funding formula. It's just underfunded. So they don't. The legislature doesn't have to change the law. They just underfund it. So if
like pension?
Like pretty much everything else going on in New Jersey these days. So what you should expect, I think, if you're looking at a crystal ball, is that they either freeze or reduce the number. In other words, I don't know that you're going to go from 13,000 to zero, but you'll just see a growing delta between your cost and what the state pays you. And they don't need to legislate to do that. They'll just continue to underfund it. I mean, some would argue that it's underfunded now because it's been frozen for a couple of years. I don't know if they'll just continue to freeze it and let the delta go slowly, or they'll actually cut the number. I don't think they're necessarily going to turn the faucet off. I think they'll gradually underfund it. You know, they're doing it with school
That's
choice.
What they're doing that?
Right. They're doing it with school choice. They're obviously doing something similar with charter schools. For the next 2 years, right, if we just look at the politics of it, the administration is not going to say, we're taking away this program. They'll just underfund it. I think they're doing it with, they're not, I don't think. They are doing it with charter schools, and they've been doing it with school choice. And I think if you're going to predict the future, very difficult to do in New Jersey, but I think that's what you should predict, that it's not going to go away overnight. They'll just increase the degree to which they are underfunding it. That's probably the soundest projection for the future. I can't do the math for you, but from the politics, the point you raised, that's what I think you should expect.
Okay. Can I go back to Kevin's question about why this is presented in the manner it was, because I think that Kevin's right. We have spent a lot of time on this board talking about school choice, looking at its impact on our district. We've heard from a lot of people in the community. So why the change in tonight versus like waiting until October to discuss this?
There's two reasons. One is that the date changed and we were surprised by that.
What was the date before?
The date used to be November, December. You had to give your numbers, your enrollment numbers, all right? So we always kind of discussed it in committee, then maybe had a board discussion, all right? They changed it, so I thought we had time to talk about this. And what I found out a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, is Sherry came to me and said they sent an email with a change of date. They want an October 1st, and they really wanted it before October 1st, but I've been putting it off with them, saying, I need to wait, I need to wait. I brought it to finance. I thought we could do it there, but we needed to do it here. And so I apologize. It's really my fault that it didn't come to the full board earlier. I apologize, absolutely on me. I couldn't have brought it to you at the last board meeting. I couldn't have brought it to you in August because I didn't really know about it. But here we are. I probably could have put some notice on it, you know, a week or so ago.
So then we have no choice. We have to decide tonight.
I think I definitely need direction from the board tonight on where you want to go with this. And I thoroughly understand the concern about money, because AJ and I talked about it, that is a definite hit to the budget. I think it's a bit gradual hit, but it's still a hit to the budget.
And we talked about it in facilities and finance for a long time. Our meeting went forever the other night, and you know, we really talked about the risks and reducing the overall risk to the district over time. And with the uncertainty of where this is going, how underfunded it's going to become, and I think everybody can predict that we'll continue to be underfunded, we really felt that it was very important that we reduce the risk to the district.
Has the funding
and
dropped off?
Just a second, please. And agree with Dr. Clark's recommendation not to add any students for 16-17.
Has the funding dropped off in the past couple of years?
The number they're giving you is the same, that 13, as Vito said. It hasn't changed, even though costs have gone up. So the number they give you has not changed. However, right, they've kind of fudged around with saying they're not giving us the full amount. They'll give us money in this other category, right? It's a little bit of a shell thing with them. So I originally looked at it and said, we're only getting $9,000 per pupil. But then they put money in another account to kind of make up the difference between the nine and the 13,000, all right? So I'm a little worried about how they're doing this too, because when I looked at the original number, I went, oh, that's 9,000 per pupil. When did they drop it, and why didn't they tell us they were dropping it? But they added the difference into another account. Why? Well, how do I know they're going to do that next year and not just drop the number again?
But our expenses have also gone up since the inception of this program, right? So our internal per pupil cost has increased over time.
All of the costs have gone up, yes.
Right. So that the what they're giving to us has kind of stayed the same, but our costs have increased. So that on top of them not paying out as much, I think.
I get you, but the $900,000 this past year and the $1.4 million in years past was compared to zero in this category. So it's over $6 million in about 5 years.
Yeah, you absolutely could not take the hit to the budget of eliminating it completely. You're going to stay at Choice District. You know, I think you minimize your risk when you decide to take zero because of what's happening. It's my best recommendation I can make to you, and I say it with great regret because I worry about the money too. I know I'm going to have to put that budget together.
I appreciate the information. I don't like the format for how the discussion was held. I think back earlier in the year, for a full year, we talked about all-day kindergarten, which is a very important program. The finances of that program were roughly $350,000 a year before the transportation offsets. You know, this is right now, it's $880,000 a year, significantly more from a financial perspective. And when the revenue's gone from a program perspective than all day K. And that was given a lot more attention than this topic, which I think is equally important. Should have been done differently.
Anybody else have any questions for Dr. Clark?
Do we have a sense of, I'm sorry.
No, please go.
Do we have a sense, and we probably don't, but I'm going to ask, of what other districts are doing? I mean, we don't want to be the only one who's accepting new students in coming years. If others are dropping out, I don't know if you know that.
Well, the other districts in Hunterdon County have very, very low numbers.
Right.
All right? I think Highbridge, the number is 2 or 3. Okay? Hampton's maybe one.
I guess is maybe better. I don't, in New Jersey. I don't, maybe yeah, broader than just
well,
where we are.
You don't have, Hunterdon County has a lot of choice districts. You don't have huge amount. In Morris County, we had like, maybe there, I think there was one, Mine Hill.
Okay.
All right? Because there was no room in any of the schools to take any students.
Right.
So nobody could open up any spots for anyone but, you know, their own students. So it wasn't a popular program in Morris County. I'm not aware of every other county. I know that in the discussions with the sending districts, there's been a lot of concern about it. They're trying to get more because the little districts,
right,
all right, are really, they have the declining enrollment and they're afraid they're gonna go away. So those choice students become really important to them to stay viable at all, and they're not being given the spots. I was actually surprised when we lost spots and they weren't being given out in Hunterdon County.
The state, if I may, right, the state is forcing the numbers down because they don't want to have to pay for the program anymore. So how much of it, if you were to look at the numbers throughout the state, what no one could tell you unless you did a district-by-district survey is, are the numbers dropping by design or by happenstance? But since your lowest number then becomes your ceiling, that's the state's way of driving the numbers down and saving the revenue in Trenton. So I can assure you the numbers are dropping, at least anecdotally, right? I represent districts all over the state. How many times it's by design and how many by happenstance, I don't know. But the state is purposely driving the numbers down, and that's what you see happening.
Any other questions for Dr. Clark?
I just needed some clarification, Dr. Clark. You indicated that our projection last year was 76 and we lost 10.
Yes.
So we're at 66 students.
Yes.
What exactly are you suggesting the projection should be for next year?
Well, it's...
given it's not 66, but
all
you
right.
have to give them
yeah,
a number.
It's,
so what
well,
is that number?
But that's our ceiling, so it's 66.
That's your ceiling.
I understand
right.
that, but you're indicating...
But I don't... first of all, anything could change by October 15th. It's September 28th, all right? My number today is 66, all right? By October 15th, that... And this is another thing they've changed. I could lose another 10 students, all right? That's part of the arbitrary nature of this planning. You have no idea, as you enter into this, what's going to happen.
I understand that. So let's just assume October 15th comes around, you're still at 66.
Six.
Is that your projection?
That's your choice number.
That's
and
number.
That's your projection.
66.
You're not indicating that we should take it lower
right.
based on your
right.
known graduation.
Right.
Yeah,
well, then you have your graduation.
Well, so that's what
for
I'm
the
saying.
Following year, there's 17 students. So you're going to lose 17 students
for 17,
in
18.
The next budget for 17,
for 17, 18. 18.
So is your projection 66 less than 17? Or is your projection?
It's 66, but then you'll,
for
the following
year.
Year, you're going to use lose 17.
I know
right?
the following year, yeah. but you're keeping your ceiling
right.
at 66.
Right.
No, it's 56, because it's no new students. So we're projecting to lose 10.
No,
so
the number is 76.
No, I lost 10 with the 76.
I thought you were projecting to lose 10 in June.
No, 76, we lost 10.
So you're projecting to lose 17.
No, that's 17,
the following 18. Year.
17, 18. 17,
17 18. 18.
It's your graduation number.
So how many are we projecting to lose next June 16th? How many are graduating?
17, 18. 17.
16, 17, there's 17 graduating.
But the ceiling doesn't get lowered until 17, 18.
Is it, am I right about that? Hey, wait a second.
So we would lose 226,000 for the following budget year.
Right. Mm-hmm. I'm just worried that 17 is graduating out of this eighth grade.
Yeah.
But the money, see, it's because the year is behind. That's why I'm saying it. You're a year behind in money.
Well, it's 13,300 a kid, assuming the state funds it the way they have the past 2 years.
So you'll get money for 66, all right, for that'll come into the next budget, and then you'll get money for 17 less the following year.
So this year we'll get 880, the following year 880 minus 226, and any attrition.
If they fund
they projected,
all.
AJ, they projected
they
8 something this year, and then it's 130 less. So you're going to get 7 something for this.
Next budget year.
Yeah.
So we would not be replacing students that age out.
Right.
So
right.
Every year our number will go down, so eventually there will be.
Yeah, unless you change that. I mean, you could then say the following year we're going to take 10.
Okay.
All right.
So this isn't forever, right?
No.
If we decide.
But it does affect as they lower your cap.
It'll lower.
It does affect that, but. You can fill that cap up.
Okay.
So you can go to 66
right.
Next year, but you can't go to 67.
Right.
And it is your feeling that the state will eventually continue to underfund this program and continually keep
I have
the cap?
Absolutely, because I see no indication that they're even discussing
right.
Increasing it. And every indication I have is that they're going to continue to underfund it and kind of let it die a natural death, right?
You're
losing kids with declining enrollment to start with.
Right.
Just kind of, it will die on its own.
So this is kind of keeping in track with that.
This is accelerating it by 41% in 18 months, plus any other attrition.
Any other questions for Drew? No? Okay, seeing none, can we then have a roll call? Do you want me to read the resolution again?
Yes.
Be resolved that based upon the recommendation of superintendent that the board will accept no additional students in the 2016-17 school year under the inter-district school choice program. Mr. Gagliardi, can you explain exactly what that means so that there's no confusion to everybody?
Well, if it was
just because we've had lots of discussions on.
I was going to say if it was written better, I wouldn't need to explain it, but I'm the one that wrote it. So, the pertinent to the last question, right? You're only making a decision as to the 16-17 school year. The lasting effect, the short-term effect, is that 2 years from now you will experience the drop in revenue that Mr. Sturgis articulated, and. Absent any change in funding or philosophy of the Department of Education, you will be lowering your ceiling to approximately 49 students.
Mm-hmm.
You are absolutely free a year from now to fill up any empty spaces up to the new ceiling. Whether the state changes over the 2 years we're talking about, the way it's funding these programs or the ceiling, nobody knows. Because they're doing this by funding annually, not by legislation. So based upon the best information available to you, you are making one decision, not to add students to the program. The only effect we know that it will have now beyond that 1 year is lowering your ceiling. You can calculate the financial implications based upon the way the program is funded now. And you're only doing that based upon the historic recent behavior of the Department of Education, nothing else that we can point to.
So a yes vote means that you agree with adding no students for 16-17.
And that's all. That's all.
Right, and then a no vote means you don't agree with it.
That is correct. Okay. If the motion is defeated, we would need to come up with other direction. It was my view that...
You'd have to give me another number.
That's correct. That given the significance of what we're talking about, this was a decision for the board.
You have to restate that, Maria.
Okay, so
because
yes...
Because if you say yes vote, you're agreeing to add...
To
students.
Not add
well, to not
students.
A yes vote means not adding students. A yes vote 17. Means you're accepting the superintendent's recommendation. A no vote is voting against that recommendation and seeking to add X number of students yet to be determined if this resolution is defeated.
Okay. Everybody understand? Mm-hmm. Roll call vote, please.
Mr. McTiernan?
Yes.
Mrs. McLaughlin?
Yes.
Mrs. Hand?
Yes.
Mr. Petuto?
Yes.
Mr. Sturgis?
No.
Mrs. Vandehoff?
Yes.
Mrs. Grant?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you. Does any board member have any other old business they'd like to bring up at this point in time?
Would this be a time to dissolve the website ad hoc committee? Or are we going to keep that going?
Why don't we do that next meeting in case something transpires over the next 30 to 60 days?
Sounds good.
All right, 30 to 40 days. We can do that. Thank you. Any other old business for the board? No? New business? Any member of the board have any new business to bring up this evening? No? Okay, Mr. Juskowitz, can you please read the executive session statement?
Do you have a second?
Oh, so sorry. My fault. Thank you, Dan. I'd like to open the floor to the second recognition of the public, please. Hold on. This section is for our members of the public to express themselves on school matters of community interest. We will follow the same outline as detailed in the first public comment section on agenda items only. If you'd like to address the board, please approach the microphone, state your name and address. Be limiting this comment section to 10 minutes.
It's worth her while. Alison Ford, 7 Oak Ridge Road, Annandale. After listening to the discussion for the last 20 minutes or so, I'm really saddened that after the Finance Committee meeting, the board members present at that failed to communicate to the rest of the board what the intentions were with regards to school choice this evening. I think that 20 minutes to discuss something of that significance is not sufficient, and I think also that the general community should have been made aware of it beforehand. There's figures banded around that people have had a little bit of time to look at, but not much time to look at. And it really saddens me that it was like a partial board decision as opposed to actually spreading the information widely amongst the whole board. And that should have been done because the Finance Committee was held a little while ago. You certainly had time to speak to the attorney to get a recommendation written up, but you at the same time didn't share the information with the rest of the board, which is really not acceptable.
I would just like to mention that after every committee meeting, there are minutes sent out to all the board members, and that discussion was included in the committee meeting minutes. So
I object.
This is not the first time this has been discussed. Anyone else like to address the board? No, seeing none, can you please read the executive session statement, please?
Whereas while the Senator Byron M. Baer Open Public Meeting Act NJSA 10:4-6 et sec requires all meetings of the Clinton Township Board of Education to be held in public, NJSA 10:4-12B sets forth 9 types of matters that may lawfully be discussed in executive session, i.e. without the public being permitted to attend, and whereas the Clinton Township Board of Education has determined that the following issues are permitted by NJSA 10:4-12B to be discussed without the public in attendance and shall be discussed during an executive session, whereas any collective bargaining agreement, or the terms and conditions of which are proposed for inclusion in any collective bargaining agreement, including the negotiation of terms and conditions with employees or representative of employees of the public body. The collective bargaining contract discussed is between the Clinton Township Board of Education and the Clinton Township Education Association and the Clinton Township Board of Education. And whereas any matter involving the employment, appointment, termination of employment, terms and conditions of employment, evaluation of the performance, promotion, or disciplining of any specific prospective public officer or employee or current public officer or employee, employed or appointed by the public body, unless all individual employees or appointees whose rights could be adversely affected request in writing that such matter or matters be discussed at a public meeting. Subject to the balancing the public's interest and the employee's privacy rights under South Jersey Publishing Company versus New Jersey Expressway Authority, 124 NJ 478, the employees and the nature of the discussion described as specifically as possible without undermining the need for confidentiality is attorney-client privilege and negotiations. And whereas the length of the executive session is estimated to be 80 minutes, after which the meeting shall reconvene and proceed with business. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Clinton Township Board of Education will go into executive session for only the above stated reasons. Be it further resolved that the public hereby declares that its discussion of the aforementioned subject will be made public at such time as the reason for confidentiality no longer exists. Action may be taken upon return.
Thank you, Mr. Juskowitz. I'm looking for a motion, please, to go into executive session.
Motion.
Sue? Second. Dan? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Executive session, please. Looking for a motion to reconvene the meeting, please.
Motion.
Dan?
Second.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Now looking for a motion, please, to adjourn this meeting.
Motion.
Dan and
second.
Sue? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Meeting adjourned. Good night.